This is Crime Binge.
Hello! Welcome to Crime Binge.
The podcast.
The podcast.
Where we talk about crime.
And binge.
And binge. We talk about binge. Or do we binge about crime?
Both.
Both.
That's the whole That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like in the movie where they say the title of the movie and you're like, they said the title of the movie.
Exactly. So, Morgan.
Yes.
What are you binging this week? Also, I love your socks. She's wearing socks.
They're French toast.
That are French toast. So it's just a loaf of bread with a beret on. That is the French flag colors and a mustache.
Yeah, it's very problematic. I love it.
Actually, my socks are Jack Skellington.
Can French toast be problematic? When you racialize it like this?
Oh, no. Well, maybe. But my French toast this past weekend was problematic. Oh, yeah. I was pissed. It tasted so good. But I got homemade French toast and the bread wasn't baked all the way. And
yeah, her bread was raw in the center. Also, I got a pork belly Eggs Benedict.
With pimento cheese hollandaise sauce.
And it was really good. They gave me an inch of pork belly on each piece. And then just the world's biggest biscuit you've ever seen. So it was also kind of annoying. Oh, but what I'm binging this week would have to be the My Favorite Murder book.
I
spent most of my weekend reading it. I was halfway to work this morning before I realized I forgot it and I couldn't read it on my break. And I was very sad. I only have 2 chapters left.
Oh, wow. I haven't even started it. It's still sitting in the Amazon box on my table.
Nice. And I think it's chapter 2 where Karen starts talking about her mom. And, how her mom died.
Oh.
And I don't know why, but that, literally made me cry. I was reading it, and I was like, I can't read because I'm crying. It was so well written. And, I don't know why, because it doesn't have any correlation to my dad whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But, just hearing her talk about it,
talking about losing a parent makes you think about the parent that you lost.
That's true. But, hers was all about, how her mom had Alzheimer's. So, mm-hmm. She lost her slowly. And it was just, really fucking difficult to read. But it was very good. It's a very good book. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Also very funny.
I will get there. I'm just really bad at reading books. I have been reading the latest Grace Helbig book for the past 6 months at least. I just got to halfway through it and put it down and never picked it back up because I'm a terrible human being.
No, I feel that. I personally speed read.
Yeah, so, I know you read so fast.
But then I'll read so fast all at once that I put down another book halfway through because I'm I just read half of this book in a day.
Yeah.
Goes off to do something else and never comes back to it. So it's a blessing and a curse.
I get that.
Yeah. What are you binging this week?
So this is real fucking lame because I thought of something else because I didn't want to tell you what I was binging. So this is something that I have, I'm going to go with the word used.
Okay.
For the past couple years.
Okay.
And it's my favorite. And as no one knows here besides you, but now everyone will. I am a avid hookah smoker.
Oh, yes. She
and is. I smoke hookah every night when I get home from work and it kind of helps me chill. I watch YouTube videos or work on notes for the podcast. But there is a certain flavor that I just no matter what else I try, I always go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Blue Mist. It's a blueberry flavor and it's made by a brand called Starbuzz. And it's just it's a light blueberry taste. It's only lightly floral. And it's there's some flavors that you can't, that are so heavy you can't do during the summer because it's so hot.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is a good summer one. And then I do have a different one by the same brand called Pirate's Cave that I like to smoke when it's cold outside because it's thick. But yeah, so my brand of hookah that I like, or shisha that I like, is nice. My binge of the week, because it's been my binge for the past year.
Look at you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah, like, has a whole setup.
And it's big.
It is big.
It's, like, 3 feet tall.
It can't be, like, you need a smaller pourable one.
Yeah.
To take with you places.
Yeah, but a lot of places, like, won't let you. Like, when I stayed at your place, mm-hmm. I just brought the whole thing because I stayed here for a week.
That's true, yeah.
But, like, when you go to, like, a hotel or something, they don't let you smoke in the rooms.
That's true.
And as much, it doesn't smell like cigarettes and leave that gross stuff that cigarettes does, I'm still not going to smoke it in the room.
Yeah, just go out on that tiny little patio they provide you and just, like, where you're standing next to your hookah, like.
One time I did that. One time my family took like a cross country trip to from Florida to Arizona, and well, we rented a house in Arizona, so I was able to use it. But we got like a little outside porch area in God, it was like Utah or something where we stayed one night, and I was like, I need it. I haven't had my hookah in like 4 days, and I was clearly addicted to it as I am.
Yeah,
but it's I was like, I need it.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. I'll stop one day. Maybe. But this week on the podcast, like we said last week, we are not doing a murder.
We're not doing a murder. We are instead going to do a kidnapping.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's like a little bit of murder involved, but it's a kidnapping story.
It's mostly a kidnapping story. Mm-hmm. And we're going to discuss Colleen Stan.
Yeah.
This week.
Who is often referred to as the girl in the box.
Yes, because as you will learn, she was in a box a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is super fucked up. And for those of you who don't know, because she is pretty well known, she was a woman who is a woman. I don't know why I'm talking in past tense. Is a woman who was kidnapped and held as a sex slave by Cameron and Janice Hooker for over 7 years. And her story is kind of weird because there's lots of, like, mind games that go on within it. So you'll hear more when we get to that part. But it's pretty interesting.
So, I mean, the main bad person in this story is Cameron Hooker. So we're going to talk a little bit about Cameron's life and not even why he became this way, but just who he kind of is as a person.
Yeah.
So Cameron was born in 1953 and was honestly described as a genuinely happy child. He loved making people laugh. He liked playing outside with his friends. He was a happy kid. And then in high school, as a teenager, he started to become awkward and quiet and would kind of keep to himself, but no one thought anything of it. It was just a phase. He was a teenager. He didn't want to hang out with people.
Everyone's sulky. Question, because I didn't look at Cameron as much as you did. Do you remember if there was anything about him getting, like, a head injury?
No, there was not.
No?
Yeah, they, like, this whole thing was caught off guard for everyone.
Okay.
Basically. There was no... Like
inclination that he would do something like that.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So when Cameron was 19, he was working at a lumber mill, and he met Janice, who became his wife, and she was 15 at the time. And she was basically just infatuated with the fact that a tall, good-looking, older boy was interested in her.
Like, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
But also, I will say, now that I've gotten out of that, like, age...
Yeah.
No one outside of high school should be dating a high schooler.
Yes.
Unless you were a senior and, like, left and you're still dating.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Like, you were already dating.
You should be dating someone in high school.
Yes. Especially someone who's fucking 15 years old.
Yeah. 15-year-olds don't know shit.
Yes. And so... Cameron then started a practice of sadism and bondage, and he really started this by suspending Janice from a tree with leather handcuffs, something that he claimed to have done with past girlfriends. And even though this frightened and hurt Janice, Cameron was so loving and affectionate afterwards that she was like, oh, it's okay. This is what love is. This is what relationships are.
Yeah. Also, she was fucking 15.
Also, she was 15. The violence then increased after they were married in 1975. And this violence included whipping, choking, and underwater submersion, which almost killed Janice. And she was so infatuated with him that she stayed with him through all of this and even wanted to have his children. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, they have children, or wanting to have children.
Yeah.
And this is when she agreed for him to get a slave girl so the torture would be directed elsewhere.
Yeah. Which is only... They do this 2 years after they've been married.
Yeah.
So, like, do we know what year Cameron met Janice? Like, was it 1975 and they got married later that year?
Let me check really quickly. It was... I would say somewhere between 1972 and 1973.
Okay. So she's older now, but still.
Yeah.
She's, like, in her early 20s. So they were together
for 2 years before they got married.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually pretty reasonable for someone who's dating a 15-year-old, honestly. Yeah.
So she was 17 when they got married.
Yeah. So by the time... That's also terrible. By the time they had a sex slave involved, she was 19.
Yes.
So she still didn't know a lot. And, like,
she was still younger than the person that they kidnapped.
Yeah.
Which is, like, weird to me for some reason.
Yeah, it does feel weird, but it's not that huge of a difference.
Yeah.
So the actual kidnapping occurred on May 19th of 1977. And Colleen Stan, who at the time was 20 years old, was hitchhiking from her home in Eugene, Oregon, to a friend's home in Northern California, and she was heading there for a birthday party, which, like, sorry, there was a hair touching my nose on my mic. That has to be a good-ass party if you're traveling all the way from Oregon exactly. to California.
Well, is it?
Oh, wait.
Oregon and California are connected, so it depends there, on how, yeah. how far north you are in Oregon.
She was in Northern California. I'm just being a dumb bitch. I don't know why I always picture Oregon as one of those states in the middle.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
I know that Washington is the top left one, but I always yeah. picture Oregon as the top left one.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it should be Washington, Oregon, and then California. California?
Well, I'll just be wrong. It's fine.
That's whatever.
So... Cameron Hooker kidnapped Stan after picking her up, and she didn't really know that she had been kidnapped right away. That wasn't something that was made obvious to her. And afterwards, Colleen, or Stan, we are going to refer to her as both, so just remember that, stated that she was an experienced hitchhiker and that she had allowed two rides to pass before accepting the ride with Hooker. And the only reason she felt comfortable was because his wife, Janice, and their 7-month-old baby were in the car. Which is, like, a plot that I've heard of several times.
Yes.
Like, when hitchhiking... Because this is around the time when it started to get, like, you shouldn't be hitchhiking.
Yeah. But hitchhiking was, like, really big before this.
Yeah. And that was something that a lot of people started to do. She did notice when she got in that Cameron was dirty, but she figured that he had just gotten off of work. And Cameron, we basically answered our own question.
Yeah.
Cameron was 23 and Janice was 19 when all of this happened. So at one point, they stopped at a gas station, and Stan later recalled that she had a voice in her head telling her to jump out of the window and run, and was just like, get the hell out of here and don't fucking look back. But she didn't listen to it and went with them, which is really sad. But, like, if I was in the same situation, I probably would do the same fucking thing. Yeah, let's just be like, honest.
Oh, these people are fine.
Yeah. And once they were in an isolated area, Hooker pulled off the highway and put a knife to Stan's throat. He then placed something over her head so that she couldn't see where she was going. So he kind of, like, lulled her into a false sense of security and then was just like,
fuck you, bitch.
Here we go, like, yeah. We're on our way.
So once they arrived at the home of the Hookers, it's just such a good last name.
It is.
Hooker's home in Red Bluff, California. She was locked in a wooden head box, which was designed to prevent light, sound, and fresh air from entering. Cameron had constructed this box himself as he was a carpenter, and the box was hinged and weighed 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Morgan and I go to the gym 3 times a week together.
Yeah.
And, like, we lift weights and everything. Imagine a 20-pound box in your head. We literally just did, like, chest presses with 15-pound dumbbells in each hand.
Yeah.
Like, imagine.
Which isn't impressive by any means. No. But, like, we understand what the weight is basically what we're trying to say. Yes,
like, just imagine, like, that being on your head.
Yeah. Well, no. It's not actually just on your head.
Well, it, like, sits on your shoulders, but, like.
The box?
Yeah, the wooden head box.
It's not, it's just called a head box.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like.
I think that's the type of box it's to describe, like, what a coffin is.
No, this was a box that went on your head.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I thought she was underneath lying in a box.
That was afterwards.
Oh, this was, I'm like, thinking of the one that she was living in.
No.
Okay.
This was beforehand.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. So before they captured Colleen, Cameron and Janice had reached an agreement that he could take a slave to take Janice's place. And then because up until then, he had been using her to act out his sexual bondage fantasies. And in this little agreement, they agreed that there would be no penetrative sex, but this ends up changing down the road.
Which, really think about it, it was always going to change down the road.
Yeah, I mean, know it's literally a sex slave that you can't have sex with.
Yeah. I know that Janice was, like, trying to, like, I don't know how to word it. She was trying to, like, make her husband happy, but at the same time, like, she was just being really naive about the whole situation.
Yeah. Well, because they were like, you get whatever, you know, arousal you need from tying someone up, beating them up, whatever you need to do.
And then
get off with me. And so the first night of her kidnapping, this is basically what happened. Stan was strung up by her hands and physically attacked by Cameron. She was left blindfolded and suspended while the couple then had sex underneath her.
Yeah. Like,
which it would be an awkward thing. Thank God she was fucking blindfolded.
Yeah.
No one wants to watch that. She afterwards was then kept in a coffin-like box, which she was chained up inside that box so she wouldn't try and get out.
Yeah.
She was kept in the box for 23 hours a day until she was given a contract that she had to sign and basically force herself into slavery for life, and that was in 1978, so after a year of being kidnapped.
Yeah.
And in this little box she had just had, like, a tiny slit for her to breathe and see and everything. And out of the box, you could see a propped-up purse with a picture of a previous victim whose body was never found, named Marie Elizabeth Sponeik. And during her slavery, I just lost it. I lost everything.
You good?
Yes. During her slavery, Cameron led her to believe that she was being watched by a large organization called The Company, which would painfully torture her and harm and kill her family if she tried to escape. She then was referred to as Kay, and Colleen was forced to call Cameron Master, and Janice was to be called ma'am. And this was done as kind of a way to dehumanize her to them so they wouldn't feel bad about doing whatever the fuck they wanted.
Well, yeah. Like, because eventually this woman, like, starts watching their children.
Yeah.
Like, becomes a part of their family. So I can imagine you had to try and dehumanize her in any way. Mm-hmm. Other than Cameron, because let's be honest, he was a sick fuck and
oh, yeah.
he wouldn't have cared either way.
I keep saying when I start a sentence.
So do I.
And she wasn't allowed to talk without permission. She couldn't talk, she couldn't move, she couldn't do anything without permission.
Yeah.
And Cameron wanted her to be, like, the female character in the erotic story of O. And he soon started to rape her, which consisted of oral rape, because he didn't want to have vaginal sex with her, as this would break the contract that he made with his wife. So he started raping her with instruments instead, vaginally and anally.
Which I feel like is worse.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? I couldn't fully tell you, but that somehow feels worse to me. Yes.
And apart from just raping her, they would also torture her by whipping, beating her, burning her, starving, and even electrocuting her.
Yeah.
Which is fucking nuts. Like, if you're gonna have a sex slave, just have sex with them. Like, I'm not condoning sex slaves or anything, but, like, I know he's a sadist and needs the torture, but, like,
or just go fucking, like, I'm sure they weren't as readily available as now, but go, like, get yourself into a BDSM relationship.
Yeah.
Where that is fucking all fucking kosher.
Yeah.
You know? But instead, we have to do things the fucked up way. Because the hard way. Why on earth can we do anything the legal way?
Exactly.
So they eventually end up moving away from Red Bluff, California, and obviously they took Colleen with them. They moved into a motorhome where she was, again, kept in a wooden box underneath their bed.
And I heard they had a water bed.
They did have a water bed. And at one point, Janice even gave birth to their second child on the bed, all while Stan was in the box underneath the bed.
Which is so fucked up.
It, like, really is.
Imagine if, like, some of those juices just fell. Oh,
God, that's disgusting.
I'm sorry.
Also, fun fact, when I met Sarah, she had a waterbed.
Oh, I certainly did. I had a waterbed for a good amount of time.
Honestly, growing up, I slept on that waterbed only a handful of times, and I have no fucking idea how you slept on that thing every night, because every time I would get, like, seasickness by sleeping on that fucking thing.
It was fine when you slept in the middle of it, but I did give myself a black eye once because the bed frame was, like, hard wood.
Yeah.
And my sister also had a waterbed. My parents still have a waterbed.
Damn, do they really? They do. I fucking love that.
But my sister's waterbed, like, the wood was covered in, like, a padded material.
Yeah,
mine wasn't.
They're like, just, let's fuck this younger one. Yes. Up.
It was just like a fucking wood square with, like, sharp ass corners, and I turned one day. Ooh. And the side of my eye just fucking hit that corner and gave me a black eye.
That instantly made my eyes feel like they were gonna tear up because that sounded so painful.
But now I have a regular bed because I'm a normal human.
I just love it. I love that your parents still have a waterbed. How very, like, 70s of them.
Right? My dad claims that it hurts his back less than a regular bed because my dad's real old.
Yeah. I mean, it could.
But also, but, like, the waterbed hurt my back more than a regular bed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that waterbeds have zero fucking support. Maybe exactly. Your dad's like, I would love to just sleep on the ground.
Honestly, that's my father. Have you ever met him? He loves camping.
That's true.
And also, I'm pretty sure he just, like, wants to be a noodle and just, like,
Bob.
Yes.
All right. So, back to this.
So, you don't want to talk about having sex on a waterbed? Because I've done that. Kidding. Go on.
I'm sure it just sounds inconvenient.
It is incredibly inconvenient. You can only have very slow sex on a waterbed.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of sinking involved.
There's a lot of sloshing. Yeah, you can only have very slow sex in order to get some sort of rhythm. Because yeah. If you start going fast,
the water is just like...
Yeah, exactly. There's no going back. It's better to just do it on the fucking ground.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so...
Sorry.
Back to the torture.
Yes.
Jesus. Cameron had also built special torture devices, like a stretcher to lay her out onto, and he reinforced the idea of the company literally every single day, and this was honestly her bigger fear than even being punished by them, because she just, like, did not want the company to come for her family.
Yeah. Which, I mean, understandable, but also terrible.
Yeah. And to avoid painful punishment, Colleen tried to obey all of the commandments, which later led her to being allowed to have some freedoms. She was allowed to do things like go for a jog. She worked in the yard, and she even cared for the family's children. Their two daughters, though, didn't know Colleen was being held against her will and didn't even know that she lived at their house because...
they kept her in the box.
Yeah, they kept her in the box underneath the bed.
They were just like, oh, okay, she's going home now. Like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
But also the thing is, they had two daughters. And it's like, how do you treat a woman so fucking terribly with your two daughters in the house? Like,
how do you vote for Trump if you have daughters?
You're not wrong. But also, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is how you expect your child to be treated when it grows up?
No. They are just exclusive to this one woman. Yeah. Colleen also helped build bigger accommodations, like an underground dungeon for more slaves. And this whole time, she didn't make any attempts to escape, as the fear of the company was so large in her mind. Which is really sad, because it's not like, what's that thing where you, like, fall in love with your captor?
Oh, Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like that, but not really, because it wasn't like she fell in love with him. She was just like, I don't want my family to die.
So it was like blackmail almost.
Yeah. This extended so far that at one point she actually went to visit her family in March of 1981.
So what, that is 4 years after she was taken.
Yes. And the first time she visited her family, she was alone. And the second time, Cameron went with her, posing as her boyfriend / fiance.
Yeah, different articles said either her boyfriend or her fiance.
Yeah. She didn't reveal her situation to her family at all. And they were convinced that she was in a cult because she disappeared without telling them anything. And, like, she came in homemade clothing, like, weird shit like that. Like, she wasn't very clean when she came to visit them. So they just assumed that she was in a cult, and they didn't want to push it when they met her because they didn't want to, like, scare her away from her never having contact with them again.
Yeah, but also, like, they should have kidnapped her back.
And, like we said earlier, she came back the next day with Hooker posing as her boyfriend, and they even have, like, pictures of her and...
which we will post.
Yeah. And her and Hooker, like, acting like they are a happy couple in the pictures, because that's what they had to do. This trip really fucking freaked Cameron out, though. He was like, she has way too much freedom, like, and...
she's becoming her own person now.
Yeah. And he locked her back in the box for 23 hours a day again for the next 3 years. Because at this point, she was allowed to be out longer and longer because she essentially became like a nanny for the children.
Yeah.
So she was there all the time. So when she was back in this box, she was not allowed to make any noise while lying in the dark, and she had very little air. She had to use a bedpan that she positioned beneath herself with her feet, and the summers were the worst for her because the box would rise above 100 degrees.
Which is nuts, because it's in California in the 70s. Not everyone had AC.
Yeah.
In a mobile home.
Especially, yeah. And she was also only fed small scraps of cold food. She often just, like, ate whatever leftover scraps she could find for herself, too. Yeah.
And... so, after the 7 years of imprisonment is the escape. And the escape is, like, pretty fucking nuts to me.
Yeah.
And so, in 1983, Stan was reintroduced to the children and the house and the neighbors.
Because when they came back, they told the children that Colleen was no longer their nanny and no longer lived with them, and they just, like, she hid under the bed again.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So after those 3 years, she was reintroduced to the children and the neighbors. And she was, they even allowed her to get a job as a maid in a hotel, yeah. which is, like, surprising.
Yeah.
And the reintegration of Stan into the household helped chip away at Janice's attitude about keeping her as a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly enough, it was Janice who helped Colleen escape from the house.
Yeah.
Which, when I read that, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So after the 7 years, Cameron basically thought he had total control of both of the women in this house. Like, he was like, I will snap my fingers and they will come. And so he told his wife that he also wanted to marry Colleen and make her his second wife. And Janice was not having any of it.
Yeah, she was like, you can have a sex slave for 7 years, but we are not fucking sister wiving up in this batch. Exactly.
We are not making this legal. And so while Cameron was at work one day, Janice told Colleen to gather her things and they were leaving. She confessed to Colleen that the secret organization, the company, was not real and Cameron was not a member of it. And once Colleen knew that no one was going to track her down, she felt safe leaving the house.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's fucking get me out of here.
And at first, because, like, it started from what I read, like, Janice at first was like, the company is real, but... like, Cameron doesn't have contact with them. And then it was like, no, it's just not real at all.
Like, we made that shit up.
Yeah.
And so once Colleen felt safe leaving the house, Janice took Colleen to her parents' house while Colleen was able to use the phone and call her father and get some money in order to take a bus home to Oregon. And there was a quote from Colleen where she said, "My first feeling was when I was free and reunited with my family was just, I was filled with joy. It was like my cup was overflowing with joy," which is so sweet.
That is so sweet. She's like a very wholesome person this mm-hmm. entire time.
I know.
And I'm like, if I got kidnapped, I probably wouldn't be able to survive for 7 years because I'm not positive.
Yeah. Right.
And like, I feel like you have to have some sense of positivity in order to survive being like, kidnapped for years. Like, not to be morbid,
I would have 100% killed myself.
Probably. Yeah. If you found a way to, I probably would have too.
Yeah. And so Stan was also quoted saying that when she was like getting on the bus and escaping, that she called Cameron Hooker on the phone and told him she was leaving. And he basically just started sobbing. And it's like, ooh, bitch. You got an emotional connection.
Not that men in general are bitches for crying, but, like, this guy's a little bitch, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Men should cry. Do it. Fucking cry right now if you're a man. I'm sorry. That was really fucking stupid.
I'll cry with you. Once Colleen left, Janice then thought that she could reform her husband through therapy and prayer.
Yeah.
And that they would be able to live a normal life. This, of course, did not happen. And Cameron remained violent. Months is the word.
Yeah.
Months later, when Janice realized that Cameron would never change, she decided to tell her pastor about the whole ordeal. And her pastor urged her to tell authorities, so she finally did.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprising thing is that Colleen didn't tell anyone about anything, even her parents, until Cameron was in custody and the police came to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking nuts. As soon as I got home, I'd be like, this motherfucker.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Janice asked her not to because she was going to try and reform him.
Through prayer.
Yeah. And... also, she was probably, like, after having that, like, the company drilled into your head for 7 years, you probably, even though you know he isn't there, that, like, the man who had you captive for so many years is probably, like, a little bit all-knowing, so you're probably still pretty terrified.
Well, also, he went to her house and met her family, so he knows where she lives. Like, yeah. He could have easily gone and fucking picked her back up if he wanted to.
Yeah, so that's probably why she was, like, terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So, the actual trial, At the trial, Janice confessed that starting with their first date, she had also been tortured, brainwashed, and referred to as a whore over the years by Hooker.
Which is fucking rude, because he is the one who, I mean,
wants to fuck other people?
Well, I was going to say, like, turned her into a whore, but
yeah,
that's rude to say.
I mean, like, you can be a hoe.
Yeah.
If you want to be a hoe. Yeah.
But someone shouldn't change, like,
someone shouldn't be like, you're a whore because I want to fuck you. Like, Janice testified against Hooker in exchange for full immunity. She even confessed that her husband had tortured and killed another girl, Marie Elizabeth Spanik, back in 1976, which is the same woman that Colleen had to look at a picture of her like every day, which happened the year before she was picked up. Mm-hmm. And according to Janice, they also picked this woman up while hitchhiking and pulled her back into the vehicle when she tried to escape. They only had the woman for a night, but apparently the couple strung her up from the rafters, tortured her, shot her with a pellet gun in the abdomen, and then strangled her to death.
Yep. Didn't even have sex with her. But they probably did that thing where they had sex afterwards underneath
Probably,
her.
Yeah, because they're but terrible.
Like, I get it if he's a sadist, but if she's not, like, how does she get off and have the ability to fucking have sex with him after that? I'd be like, no, don't touch me.
I can only imagine that, like, she's turned on by him being turned on.
I guess.
You know, but because you and I aren't, like, in that situation, it's so hard to, like, see what the fuck we would do.
That's true.
But
also, if someone
would you not... also wouldn't be naive enough
exactly to do if all someone of that. Wanted to do something I wasn't comfortable with sexually just, like, nah. And like they tried to force me into it and be like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. And I would leave. I wouldn't stay with them.
Cameron's defense team was real shitty, and by real shitty I mean they focused on the idea that because Colleen Stan complied with all of Hooker's demands, that the sexual acts were consensual and should not have been considered criminal. Which it's like she was literally held captive for seven years.
For 23 hours a day.
So maybe she felt like she had to comply with all of Hooker's requests because she was fucking scared.
Yes.
Like, go fuck yourself. Hooker also took the stand and said that he had been significantly less violent than the women were claiming he had been.
Not violent at all, just less
significantly
violent.
Significantly less, okay?
I was still violent, but not quite there.
And the jury took 3 days to deliberate before finding Hooker guilty on 7 of 8 counts. And I'm pretty sure he did not get convicted for the Marie Elizabeth woman.
No, he did not.
So that's unfortunate that she didn't get, like, that kind of justice. Hooker was sentenced to consecutive terms for sexual assault, kidnapping, and using a knife during the process for a total of 104 years in imprisonment. At the very end of the trial, the judge said in his closing statements that Cameron Hooker was, quote, the most dangerous psychopath I have ever dealt with. He will be a danger to women as long as he is alive, end quote.
Which is true.
I thought was cool, too. Hooker then, though, tried to appeal the verdict, saying the judge's opinionated comments granted him an appeal, and it was denied.
Obviously.
Thankfully. In 2015, when Cameron was 61 years old, he applied for parole. Yeah. I wrote patrol, though, in a really big way. He applied for parole under California's elderly parole program, but he was denied. And he does go up again in 2022, but I doubt he's going to be getting out.
And, like, I know you can apply for parole when you're 60 for this, but, like, my father is 61, and he's not an I tell him that he's old every day. But he's not an elderly man. Like, he can still do everything.
Yeah. Like, it really depends on where you are at the 60-year-old mark. Yeah. But I feel like you're not, like, elderly until you're, like, 70.
Yeah, definitely.
Personally, but...
Like, yeah, you're kind of old. But, like, you still have all the functions that you did.
Yeah.
Something tragic happened or yeah. you have a disease.
Exactly. Colleen Stan's experience was described as unparalleled in FBI history, which I think is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And Hooker, as the true piece of shit he is, yep. was quoted saying, "I want you to thank the judge for me. I have a library, a gym, and the time to enjoy them. And it's better than living with those two women."
What a misogynist bitch.
I fucking hate him.
I know.
You, sir, get solitary confinement your whole life with no ability to read ever. Or go to the gym. You honestly, have to atrophy. Like,
this is the part where, yes, honestly, how did that woman not atrophy being in a box for 23 hours a day?
Yeah.
But also, this is the part where, like, an eye for an eye, you know? She's locked in a fucking coffin for 23 hours a day for 7 years. His first 7 years of his prison sentence, he should be locked in a fucking coffin-sized box yeah. and have to use a bedpan and eat cold food scraps for 23 hours of the fucking day.
And even if we want to be humane, yeah. quote unquote, about it, let's just fucking put him in a cell, solitary yeah. confinement. 7 years.
I went a little.
No, too no, much, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
in the legal scheme of things, I know we legally can't do, like, the coffin thing.
Yes.
That'd be cool if we could. It'd but, great. You know, just, like, don't get to do those things for a couple of years.
Yeah. So. Keeping up a little bit with Colleen nowadays, post-trial.
Yeah.
But because Colleen was locked up in the same position for years and had to be hung from her arms and all these torture devices and everything, she now has severe shoulder and back pain and problems, which is 100% understandable.
Yeah, again, exactly.
How did her muscles not all just turn into goo?
Yeah.
And after the trial, Stan studied for an accounting degree. She joined and volunteered for Reading Women's Refuge Center, which is an organization that helped abuse women.
Nice.
And then Janice Hooker became a registered associate social worker and has worked as a mental health professional, which, like, good for her, but also...
Also feels weird, right?
Yeah, because you have some sort of something wrong with you.
Yeah. You were, at the very least, also brainwashed.
Yes.
Into doing all of these things.
Some sort of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
And her and, well, Colleen and Janice have both changed their last names, but they continue to live in California to this day, although they do have no communication with each other, yeah. which is understandable.
I feel like that'd be a bit much.
A woman named Mara Bobson wrote in a New York Daily News article about Colleen that, quote, "tried to move on to a normal life, but misery followed her, a string of failed marriages and a troubled child now in jail." Which is shitty.
Yeah, but
understandable.
Yeah, if you, the first part of your 20s, like exactly. your early and mid-20s are spent in a literal box as a slave, you're probably not going to be able to have healthy relationships yeah. no matter how much therapy you go to. Like,
exactly.
It's just, that's something you're kind of fucked for life, it seems.
And something Colleen just kind of said about the whole ordeal is, "I learned I could go anywhere in my mind. You just removed yourself from the real situation going on and you go someplace else."
Which I thought was really nice. Thought yeah. that was like a nice way to wrap it up, you yeah. know?
And like, if you want to learn a little bit more, she has done, like, a ton of interviews and,
yeah.
like, there's movies and shit, but she, like, herself has done a bunch of interviews, which are, like, pretty informative to watch.
Yeah. And she's, like, overall a very, like, optimistic person, which I feel like a lot of the people who are kidnapped, like Elizabeth Smart and mm-hmm. all of those who return home, are all, like, so weirdly optimistic.
Yes.
And
I keep thinking of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, where oh, yeah. she, like, comes out after being held in a bunker and she just, like, explores the world.
But, yeah, that was Colleen.
That was Colleen Stan being kidnapped for 7 years.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine it.
I can't either. I would not do well in that situation, yeah, to say the least.
So in order to get this to a happier place,
yeah,
rather than being tortured, raped, and kidnapped, we, by we, I mean Morgan, has a Florida man story for us.
I have personally picked this Florida man story.
And again, we don't tell each other, though.
Yes.
So it's like genuine reactions.
I feel like you're going to like this because it's kind of hashtag relatable.
Okay.
So, oh no.
Did you just lose it?
Yes.
Oh no.
Hold on. Okay. I accidentally clicked an ad on the side. Okay. So, Florida man learns hard way. He stole laxatives, not opioids. Oh God, I ruined it.
Opioids?
I cannot say that word.
You chose the wrong story for you. Opioids.
Opioids.
Yes.
I didn't know I couldn't say that word until right now. Until I tried to say that word.
There's literally so many words that I just can't say.
Florida man learns hard way. He stole laxatives, not opioids.
Yes.
Okay. In Pinellas Park, Florida.
Same. Which is a good 45 minutes to an hour from here.
Yeah. He thought he was being smart when he stole them from the medicine cabinet of a home where he was staying.
Oh, so it's not from the store. Okay.
No. He was, like, staying in this person's home, and he entered their lockbox. And this is all caught on tape, by the way. Yes. He's caught pouring a handful of pills, and he takes them all.
Yes.
And the pills were labeled as hydrocodone, which is a pain medicine.
Yes, which I took a lot of when, yeah, I got my teeth out. And it was
great. I, however, could not because they made me vomit a lot. However, the pills themselves were actually a quite gentle laxative.
Which is, like, me, though, puts my laxatives in a fucking lockbox because those are the most important things to me.
The reason that I chose this story was because before we started this podcast, Sarah and I both were like, wow, I have to shit so bad.
Yes.
I'll probably cut that out, but whatever. That's,
well, I was going to say, I also sent Morgan a meme as we were sitting here of Aaron from The Office talking to Dwight when they were down in Florida.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Okay.
I said Dwight.
I thought, I was like, I've definitely heard her say his name before, and she's never said it like that. I thought that's how you said Dwight, was D-White, and I was like, wow, fuck off.
I don't know how to speak, apparently. But, so, it's when Dwight has appendicitis, and he's, yeah, getting sick, and he asks if anyone is diarrheal, and Aaron comes up to him, and this picture is just Aaron winking, saying, who says none of us are diarrheal? And I'm like, literally me on a fucking daily basis. But that's our shit podcast.
Quite literally.
It's now shit corner. Well, that was number seven.
Was it number seven?
Eight?
It was.
That was number something.
It has to be eight.
Does it? Does it have to
it's
be,
eight.
Morgan? Okay.
It does have to be, Sarah.
That was podcast number eight. We did a great job.
Podcast number eight. We're almost to 10.
I know. It's so exciting. Thank, yeah, you, guys.
Yeah.
And we had someone listen from Australia, and that's the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And one in, well, I don't know if it was just one.
Yes. But we have a percentage in Australia.
And Canada.
And Mexico. Which is awesome.
So, I told, like, Taylor, and he was like, really?
Yeah. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, the five people I go to school with.
Right?
I don't go to school. But the five people I
work with.
That
you went to school, yeah, with.
Exactly. And that was really cool. So, like, if you're the one listener from Australia or Canada, tell your friends about this podcast.
Yeah. If you liked it.
Yeah.
If not.
I mean, you should still tell them about,
yeah,
it. And tell them to listen to it.
But make sure that you go and like, comment, rate everything, our podcast, download it.
Yes,
do everything,
please,
you can to get the word out and to show us that you like it. And so we can keep doing it. That'd be great.
And
what are our socials?
Yeah, you can also follow us on social media every time we post an episode, we post some pictures relating to that episode. So you
which
can
is
kinda,
fun.
Yeah, you can kind of get an idea of what everyone looks like. So we are on Instagram at Crime Binge Podcast and on Twitter as Crime Binge. And you can also email us your stories, which you really should, because we
want to do a listeners episode here
soon.
We
need them. And it can be murder, true crime, a kidnapping, a robbery.
Yeah, anything.
Anything.
Really.
Could be creepy, could be funny. But we are, if you want to send us stuff, we are crimebinge@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And that is it. We might get a Facebook page one day. But
maybe.
That's a lot. That's for another day.
Well,
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
And keep on binging.
Damn, we said it the same fucking time.
We're so good.
Hell yeah. All right. Bye, guys. We'll
Bye.
See you next week.